Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
And this sermon in Jesus' name, amen. So I read from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And I just want to focus on a couple of verses. I also read from the parable of the sower. Psalm 126. Verse 5 and 6 says this: they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6: he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, what meaneth these words? What is this about? The title of this message is this: God's great plan to reach the world. The Lord, our God, wants to reach the whole world with the good message of salvation. We know he instructed his disciples, didn't he, to evangelize the world. You did notice that, didn't you? We could go to Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, and we know that, to sum it up, he said, go and teach all nations. Is that not correct? So he's telling the 12 and those that were hangers-on or in a wider context that are around him, he wanted them to evangelize the known world. Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world. So Nika and Leo and Joey and Annie, Jackie and Jan come from abroad. So they've gone into the world, and Astrid has come here from Thailand. Okay. So they've gone into the world. They've come from other parts of the world. Well, I've been to the Philippines. And I have been to other countries like India, America. And I've preached in those countries. But the disciples, we have to thank them that they didn't stay in Galilee. They didn't stay in Israel. But they did something when they heard these words. They went and evangelized. They were fearful, weren't they, when Jesus got crucified? They didn't want to leave the building. However, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And boldness, the power of God came upon them. And they were able, on that day of Pentecost, Peter, he was able to preach the gospel. And there, if you study Acts chapter 2, there's like about 18 different nationalities that came to Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost. And they were, you know, the Holy Spirit came and there were tongues of fire. And they spoke in other languages. They spoke in tongues, but if you look at the context of that passage, and this has taken me years to work out, you know, years, when you compare different theologies from different church backgrounds, and they spoke other languages. The people heard them in their own tongue. And I won't, this not, the sermon's not about that, right? But what I am saying is, they heard the gospel in their native tongue. And when they went back, some were from Greece, some were from Persia or wherever, you know. And they took the message of the cross of salvation, what Jethro shared in the breaking of bread. They took that message with them back home, you see. That is what God and the word of God is trying to say. In that context, right? However, now, what about us? What about us? What are we doing with this great message? This message that is able to cause us to be born again. It's able to cause us to be new creations in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to share a few words of testimony. My dear Mayette and myself had a holiday recently, and I wasn't thinking a lot about it. I was just thinking of her doing a marathon, which is what she did, in Clacton on Sea. But I have to say this. Whenever I go somewhere, whenever I'm travelling, I'm looking around. I'm looking around at public speaking. Am I bold enough to preach the gospel to those places where we go? It's in the back of my mind. It's in my heart. It's there. It will never leave me. And I can go back years and years and years. Whenever we've had a holiday, I've always wanted to preach publicly. I can remember us going to places in 2010, to Folkestone on Sea. We went there once, and I gave out one or two tracts, or I held my Bible on the street. I did these things, but I have to say, I've been bound up in fear. Now, that comes as a surprise, maybe, to some of you. But fear has gripped me like a ball and chain round my neck. Now, it's true. I've been fearful. I've been worried in case a little old granny comes and gets her handbag and bashes me round the head. I'm telling you the truth, because we just don't know what's going to happen once we stand on the corner and open our mouth. Do we? We're fearful. I've been fearful. However, recently, dear Mayette put me on the spot in Great Yarmouth. She said, are you going to preach the gospel? I said, maybe. I might. Yeah, you're chicken out, aren't you? She said. I didn't like that. I'm not going to be called a chicken. When we were lads at school, David, Paul, I'm sure Jethro as well, and maybe Dave, you know, Joey and Leo, and I'm sure all of us lads, Mick Tipper, anybody called you a chicken, they'd probably end up in a fight with you. Is that not right? We don't like it, do we, boys? No. So dear Mayette was calling me a chicken, basically, in Great Yarmouth. I did not like it. So it's a bit of a personal testimony. The following day, I was a chicken that day. I was, Liam. But the following day, we were in Norwich. She said, I'm going in the bank, John. Okay? So I said, all right, please yourself. I stood outside the bank, got my Bible, and I got on with it. I weren't having a debate with her. I weren't going to sit down and talk about why I wasn't. I got on with it. Do you know what? By the grace of God, I rocked the place. I rocked the place. Maybe God rocked the place. But I have to say, my heart, if you will look at the video, my heart was full of joy. No fear, no concern about an old granny with a brick in her handbag, bashing me around the head. No worry about that. I was full of the joy of the Lord. I was captivated under the passion and love of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel. And some people looked and watched. Some people ignored me. I didn't let it get to me. And I think the Lord, through rejection, through people turning their nose up at you, as that sort of thing happens to you, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will give you something to sustain you through the rejection. I'll tell you what, they rejected him And look what he did. Look what happened. Look what he achieved. Look what God Almighty, our Father, bless Jesus Christ, our Saviour. I'm telling you, I've been blessed. So blessed. I can't stop now. I can't stop. So I wanted to say this to you. However, the church, and I'm not pointing the finger at our church. I'm talking about the wider church in general. The national, the international body of Christ. The church has forgotten its purpose. The church has forgotten its mission. You know, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, this is the Lord Jesus Christ's mission statement to the church. And what has the church done about it? Oh, let's have another cup of tea and biscuits, please, in the boardroom. You know, the church has completely forgotten about the Lord Jesus' mission statement. It honestly gives attention to lesser things. Oh, should we have a ladies' morning tea party? Yeah, and we can do some flower arranging. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we do some flower arranging. And maybe the men say, I've got a cousin who's a member of a bowls club, and he's inviting all the Christian gentlemen to come and play bowls one day. Should we do that, Paul? Well, the church has lost its direction. The church has lost its sense of purpose. Now, because of that, few go. Few meet up with Dominic, Liam and Janet Smith. Right? Few. And I know it's not this then, but in every church around the world. Because of this, there's little impact. And because of this, there's little growth. Huh? We don't have many people coming through the church, through the door, sorry. And what happens, and this is what is going on right now, church growth comes from people trading places. They say, well, don't like the colour of the walls in New Hope Church. I think I'll go down to Hemel Community Church and look at the paint on their walls. Right? And that, so people move from one church to another and another to another. And that's how church grows. Well, it's not the right way, but it's what's going on. We must get back to biblical standards. And we must go back to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to the disciples. Are you with me? Good. So let's look at my first point. It says this. The first part of God's plan is going. Jesus said, go, therefore, into all the nations. So the first part of God's plan is going. But look at this verse. I think it's verse 6. He that goeth. Now, when I say goeth, I'm looking at the King James, the authorized version. He that goeth forth. Right? That's my... He that goeth forth. It's... Listen, people. It's easier to do almost anything else in the church than to go. Right? Maybe the pastor or the minister is worried about losing his whole flock. Dominic's off to Israel. Liam's off to Disneyland, right? Well, that's two down. Jethro's going to uni, right? We could lose our box sheep. Sorry, I got an infection. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a minister don't want to say go. Because he wants to keep everybody there to make it look like the church is growing or fruitful. But the thing is, people could do anything else but go. They'd rather serve on the board or have a Have an AGM. Have an AGM every day, every week. Make it look like we're busy. Easy to send others. It's easier to sit down and to criticise what's going on in the church, in the body of Christ. We could nitpick. We could nitpick and grumble. That is very popular in churches. You know, we could go and do a survey. We could do a survey around the churches and say, are there many critical people in this church? Oh, yes, we got loads here. Many grumblers? Oh, yeah, got loads of grumblers. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to be part of what they call the faction than to get into the action. What would you rather? Get into the faction or be part of the action? But if you like our church to be larger in numbers, we're going to have to do something about it. Is that right? It means outreach and evangelization. That's what it means. So let's look at this. The second part of God's plan. I find this hard because it says this. The verse says, Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth weeping, or weepeth, as in the King James. Well, have you ever shed a tear over the lost? I haven't. I struggle to search my heart about the well-being of other people and whether I really care for their salvation, for their state of mind, or for their knowing Jesus. Do I cry? Do I have any compassion within me for the lost? No, that's me. And I have to ask myself, am I carrying the burden of the Lord to those that are headed to hell? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that me? Is it you? Well, maybe it's just me. Most Christians do not go because they don't care. And like I said, I'm examining myself, and I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. I've been fearful. I've been fearful of a little old lady with a brick in her handbag and swinging it around my head saying, we don't want to hear that sort of thing round here. Do you understand me? People, you see, you take David, young David, the shepherd boy. He wants to get in on the action. His dad has told him, look, take this food to your brothers. They're in the battle. They're serving Saul. Take this food. And David, young man, like maybe Jethro's age or something, goes into the thick of the battle and he sees all the army on one side, sees Goliath and all the Philistines on the other side. He's just going about his daily business, doing what his dad's asked him to do. And he sees a giant who is taunting the armies of the living God. And that giant has got them all paralyzed. That giant's got them all fearful. They're trembling. They're looking at the giants in the valley. The Philistines are on the other side. And the armies of Israel with Saul is on the other side. Goliath's in the middle. And Goliath is a giant. And Goliath is taunting the children of Israel. And they are trembling. And that is what is happening. People will not go and step out of the boat. You know, Peter said, when he saw the Lord walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. I mean, they were all scared. Who's going to jump out of the boat walking on the water? It's fear that stops us doing the impossible, isn't it? Fear of the unknown. Fear of stepping out of the boat and getting wet and drowning. The Lord said, it's me, come. He steps out of the boat and he's standing on the water. You can imagine the thrill, the joy, the excitement of doing something no one's ever done before. Isn't it true? Wow! Peter's on the water looking at, and while he's got his eyes on Jesus, he's standing on that water. See what I mean? Keep looking after, unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When he took his eyes off Jesus, started sinking. Goliath, the giant, is a representation of the devil. And it's the devil that is taunting us, saying, he's got us just where he wants us. Scared to do anything different. That's where the devil's got the whole church paralyzed with fear. Oh, we'll have another tea party, please, Dominic. Yeah, just so that we don't have to come down to town and outreach with you. Yeah, all right. Do you understand me? I'm not picking on us here, right? It's just the reality. Let's have a sweetie. I've got some cough sweets. So anyway, the reason why I'm saying this is because I noticed it in myself. That's what I'm talking about. I'm telling you a testimony that I've been fearful to get my Bible and stand on a street corner and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whoever will believe in him shall not perish. All right. It's so easy. Who's fearful? Me? Well, I was, but I'm not now. I'm not now, Nika. Annie? The Lord wants us to be overcomers. That's what he wants. To be overcomers. Let's carry on. Time is really gone. Wow. Do believers care if sinners go to hell? We should. You know, we can go out on the streets and we can preach, but we've got to learn to have compassion for the lost, for those that are going to, they're going to hell. But God wants us to have a heart of compassion. Let me show you what Paul said in Romans 9, chapter, Romans 9, verses 1 to 3. See what it says. This is what Paul thought. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience always bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continue sorrow in my heart. But I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my own brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. If you read those words slowly, carefully, he's saying, I'd rather myself be accursed so that my brothers and sisters who are lost could be saved. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? That any one of us could be able to speak in the same way about people out there. Could we speak like that so that our neighbour would be saved? It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So he was motivated for outreach because of his concern for his own people. Do we have the same concern to reach out as he did? So when we read the words, he that goeth forth weepeth, these can be tears. Not necessarily physical tears. However, that does look good because it looks natural. But they can be tears of the heart. If you have genuine sorrow for the lost, Like David's told me about people at his work. He likes them. He knows they can be scoundrels, but he genuinely likes them. And when he witnesses to them, they ridicule him. Is that not right, David? But underneath it all, he's got a genuine concern for them. So it's a kind of like the weeping of the heart. And that's what God wants us to have. When you go to the hospital and you've got other colleagues that are, you know, atheists or something like that, you know, do we care to be a witness for the Lord towards them? Let me move on very quickly. My third part is this. It says, bearing precious seed. He that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. So the Lord, in Matthew 13, we get this parable of the sower. A farmer has prepared his field. He's got a bag of wheat. And he's walking up and down the field, throwing his seed. You know the story. You know the parable. Luke 8:11 says that the seed is the word of God. Now, we spiritualize the parable of what Jesus was showing and saying to the disciples. The seed is the word of God. We have the word of God. Every one of us has got a Bible. Is that not right? Who don't have a Bible? Okay, I'll let you off. But Jesus tells us this parable of the sower. We all know it. We all know there's different soils. There's good soil, there's stony soil, there's weedy soil, isn't there? Some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground. The birds of the air came and picked up the grain. Some fell among thorns. And the thorns represents the cares of this world. Some fell on good soil. Out there is different types of soil. It's 25% good, 25% stony, 25% thorny, and 25% on the wayside. If we will do what the Lord says and scatter the word of God as we go, with compassion in our hearts, some of it will fall on good soil. And those people will produce a fruit, a harvest. Can we, brothers and sisters, can we do this? Can we share the word of God wherever we go? Thank you, Liam. Can we do it? Can we? I mean, the onus is on us. That's what the Lord has been showing me. The onus is on us. If Jethro's going to uni, and, you know, if the rest of his classmates are all atheists, I'm sorry, Jethro, the onus is on you, bro. Do you get where we're coming from? So, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to speak to others about Christ, about Jesus Christ and what he can do. We have a responsibility to live consistent Christian lives as we go about God's business. I mean, I published a tract. I don't have one with me right now. But I took the time. There we go. Thank you, Annie. That's my own. Now, every one of us could write our own tract. Do you know that? You could say, well, look, why don't I share about who I am in Jesus? Write my own tract and we can get it published. When you have a tract, you've got a focal point, you know. So if you want to come downtown, we can do it together. Yeah. I mean, I would love that. I would love that. You're right. We can use gospel tracts. And you might find other ways to outreach. We don't all have to be with Dominic and Liam. You might come up with another strategy. For example, I'm going back to the early 90s. I met an old auntie. When I say an old auntie, she was my stepmother's sister, right? So she weren't my auntie anymore when she split up with my dad. I met up with her years later. I said, hello, Hillary, what are you up to? She said, well, John, she said, I've got a radio show, and she loved country and Western music. She said, I'm playing country and Western on the hospital radio. I said, that's great. And do you know what was going through my mind? If she can do that, why can't I have a gospel slot? I said, is there any chance I can get on hospital radio and have a gospel slot? She said, I'll ask. Guess what? Within 3 months, I had my own radio show. Preaching on the radio. Hello, this is John Gilbert from Hemel Hempstead Community Church back in the day. And I'm just talking to you about the Lord Jesus. I was doing it. And I went from 15-minute program to half an hour to a two-hour slot. And I did that for 6.5 years. You can do that. You know how smart Jeffro and Dominic is on the old computer? They could set up some sort of podcast. I don't even know what a podcast is. But you understand me. You don't have to just give out tracts or stand on a street corner. You can do other things. So, you know, you could do YouTube videos or something like that. You, Mayette has been filming me on making movies and uploading them onto Facebook. And the outreach in Yarmouth or Norwich or Hemel Hempstead Town Centre, she's uploaded it, and lo and behold, the one in Norwich has had 500 views. Isn't that incredible? I mean, one outreach where I boldly just thought, I'm getting on with this, I'm not having my wife call me a chicken. I'm not having it. So a man's got to be a man and stand up for himself. Isn't that right, lads? Oh, dearie me, Mayette, what's going on? So she kindly has put the video on the FB, and whereas I did it the once, not knowing what to expect, over 500 people have viewed that video. I am ecstatic. Praise God. Hello? Pardon? Michael's. Oh, Mick. Oh, we call him Mick. Mick, there you go, mate. That's all right. So, I mean, it's astounding because Mayette did the Norwich video, 500 people, over 500. Now, the one in Great Yarmouth, I did it again a couple of days later, it's 400 and counting. People are looking. They're seeing the outreach all over again, all over again, all repetitively. I am filled with joy. I'm filled with joy because I'm not glorying in myself. May God have the glory. And may these people keep looking. It's a multimedia generation, isn't it? Let's make the most of it. Very quickly, the fourth part of God's plan is reaping. Reaping. The farmer, he plants the corn. He prepares the field. He plants the corn. He watches the harvest. He sees the corn growing. And what happens? Is he going to let it go to waste? No. He's going to get his combine harvester out and start reaping what he's sown. The Lord knows. The other day, I went out for a walk in the country and I saw exactly what I'm saying. On this side of the road, the farmer had harvested the corn. On this side, I noticed the corn was ready for harvesting. It was ready. He'd done all his work. He prepared the field. He planted the seed. He'd seen the rain come. He'd seen the sunshine. And it's ready for harvest. Jesus says, look unto the fields They are ripe for harvesting. There are millions, multitudes upon multitudes of people, and they're headed to a lost eternity. Is the harvest ripe for reaping? I think so. They've had every philosophy that you could ever dream up to make them happy, and they're miserable. Yeah? They've had every religion that the world has to offer, and are they saved? No. Jackie says no. Jesus is their only hope. And we know the message of salvation. So who's the Lord going to use? Is he going to wait for Jethro's generation? For Adriel's generation? Or are we going to get on with the job? Listen, it says here on that verse, they shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Do you want some rejoicing in your life? Let's go and evangelise. Let's go and reap in a harvest. You must make an effort to reap in order to win people for Jesus Christ. You've got to put in the effort. So, you know, yesterday's outreach. I was in the town. In fact, it was from a week ago, but I still went yesterday. A young lady saw me on the video, and she said, "Oh, praise the Lord, Johnny G." Some people call me Johnny G still, right? Lovely. She said, "I remember 20 years ago, 2003, when you and Joe Boxall were out on the street witnessing and I came to know the Lord." That was 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, that person still walking with the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful. She messaged me after she saw the video yesterday. And 20 years on, she's having an influence on other people. And that's what we want. So, please, don't leave winning souls or soul winning to someone else. Do it yourself. Have a go. You know, I'm going to say this. When I was in Great Yarmouth, it was in Norwich, I was preaching, and I said in the video, my heart is full of joy. When you step out that boat, the Holy Spirit, because he knows you're making an effort, God will pour himself into you. He said, don't worry about what you're going to speak when you go before judges. When they get you, arrest you for some unknown reason, they arrest you and take you before a judge. He said, don't worry what you're going to speak, because it will be the Spirit of God speaking through you. Do you understand me? When I've gone out preaching in the last 2 weeks, I've not had any notes. None at all. And I just thought, whatever's in my heart for the Lord, I just let it out. But God, when you start preaching the word of God, God will elaborate on it, help you expound on it. Incredible. So, come on. They talked about the Toronto blessing in the 1990s and everybody got disappointed. I'm talking about the outreach blessing. You want to be blessed? Let's take part. Let's get involved. Let's do something. Let's not be part of the faction. Let's get into the action. Yes? Come on. Come on. Let's return to the Christian basics. And I've learnt this also. Finally, I'm going to say this. It's important. There is a parable. It's called the parable of the talents. The Lord distributed those talents to the people. He gave one five. He gave one three. He gave one. Thank you, Annie. The one with five, what did he do? He invested it, didn't he? He doubled them. The one with three, what did he do? He invested them too. He doubled them. And the Lord said, well done. And what the Lord is saying, in the next life, I will be able to give you much responsibility to those two. But the one who had the one, what happened?
He buried it.
And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God has given me a gift, and I buried it. I've been a believer for the lady who I told you about 20 years ago in 2003. What have I been doing for 20 years? Nothing. Where's my radio show gone? Hit the rocks. Where's my FB outreach that we did through COVID? Hit the rocks. We're back in the hall. You know, Dominic's doing the multimedia. But what I'm saying, I'm evaluating myself and I'm saying, have I buried my talent all these years? What have I been doing? Well, I'm definitely not going to meet the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I buried it. I'm not doing that. I don't want him to say, John, you let me down, bruv. Do you? Because I don't. So I've got my talent back out. I put it on and I'm preaching. Make straight paths for the Lord because he's coming back soon. Yes? Can we all do it? I'm not expecting Jackie to come down the town and say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jackie, I'm not expecting that, right? You understand, but I know where Jackie's at. But you understand, I'm just trying to stir up that gift within us that we can do something to outreach. Do you understand me? We can do it, people. I know we can. And we need to get rid of fear, take a stand for the Lord. Remember when David defeated Goliath? The whole army of Israel said, yes, if David can slay the devil or the giant, we can take the rest of the armies of the Philistines. And they did. They put them to flight. I tell you, just one of us. Look at Dominic. Look at Liam. They're doing it. Let's join them. Let's make the most. Let's, even if you take them a cup of water to refresh them in their outreach, let's have a go. And when we can see the Lord, we meet the Lord, he's going to smile at us. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. Let's return to Christian basics. Let's get back to winning souls. And do you know what? There'll be future blessing. When we see those souls saved, the angels in glory, there is joy. There is joy, abundant joy in the presence of those angels when they see those people that are lost rejoicing. Let's pray. Lord, Lord Jesus, we do wonder and we do marvel at the salvation of one soul. And like Michael clapped over that person that repented and got saved all those years ago, Lord, I pray that we do much more clapping and shouting and rejoicing when we ourselves can see others born again. I pray for all of us here. I don't want to speak any words of judgment or condemnation, Lord. I just want us to stir up that gift within us, that whatever talents you have given us, Lord, we can put them to good use in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.